joy.
Amen.
What a joy to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
I tell you what, I've never met Brother Dixon, but I'm glad I have.
Amen.
I just want to thank God for His mercy and His goodness. October 14th, 1990, the Lord found me. Out of all the billions of people in the world that Sunday night, thank God, and I'm not boasting in me, you know that. He found me. I sure am proud He did.
Amen.
Well, I praise the Lord for His goodness and His mercy. And I tell you what, my wife and I couldn't wait to get down here to be with you folks. I would have rode a bicycle. And I live all the way in Lafayette, Georgia. But it's just a joy to be here with you tonight. And Brother Toby told me just to mind the Lord. And I do have a little song on my heart just before we try to preach tonight. I don't know. Whatever the Lord wants is what I want. Can you pray for us for just one moment? Sometimes the day seems long and hard. Sometimes I don't feel like traveling on. Sometimes I'm weary from the fight. And sometimes I'm just too weak to stand. But always He is with me. Always He still cares. Always He reminds me that He will always be there. Sometimes I feel like I could die. Sometimes my world crumbles in my hand. Sometimes, I want to say again, I just get weary from the fight. And sometimes I'm just too weak to stand. But always He is with me. Always He still cares. Always He reminds me that He will always be there. You know what? There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Amen, amen, amen. Open your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter chapter number 1, please. Now, I've wrestled today a lot about the message for tonight. While we were in prayer, this dear missionary to Honduras was praying. The Holy Spirit said, preach that. So we're going to try by His help, by His grace, to try to encourage you. I've never seen a day, and Brother Dixon, you've been in this thing a whole lot longer than anybody in here. I've never seen an hour when God's people need more encouragement than they do right now. We all have struggles. We all have trouble. We all have trials, but I'm glad we got a Lord. I'm glad our Lord is in control. So let's go to God in prayer and pray His will be done. Then we'll read 1 Peter chapter 1, the first four verses, and try to bring the message that He's laid up on our heart this evening. Brother Toby, would you ask the Holy Spirit to anoint us, please?
Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, tonight I do thank
you. Our Father in heaven, I want to thank you for your word.
For the blessing to be able to
Lord, I ask you to forgive me of every sin in my heart and in my life. I thank you for moving in this meeting, God. It's been amazing. Thank you so much for the Word of God. And Lord, I ask you now to forgive me of every sin in my heart and in my life. And Holy Spirit, would you please be pleased to anoint me one more time? Without you, Lord Jesus, there'll be no preaching done. Lord, I pray you would help your people tonight, Lord. Oh, we're a needy people, God. Thy word said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Father, deliver me from the flesh. Deliver me from showmanship. Deliver me from trying to be impressive and lean on my own understanding. And Lord, you have your way and say what you want to say and do what you want to do. And I praise your name and thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name and for our sake.
Amen, amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll begin our reading in verse number 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of His wonderful word. I want to lift a thought tonight from verse number 4, if the Lord will allow me. And I want to preach tonight a very simple thought that I believe may help us in the Lord. I just simply want to try to preach on don't give up your hope. Amen.
Amen.
Don't give up your hope. If you know your Bible this evening, 1 and 2 Peter is written in an answer to a command that our blessed Lord gave to Peter just a few days before he was crucified. If you remember, the Lord Jesus looked at Peter and he made this statement. He said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee that he may sift thee as wheat. But I have prayed for thee. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren.
Amen.
Now that was not talking about Peter's salvation.
Right.
That was talking about a time in Peter's life when he would come to a place of spiritual maturity, and he would be able to feed the flock of God like the Lord admonished him to. That's the reason tonight that 1st and 2nd Peter was written under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God. If you read through this epistle tonight and 2nd Peter as well, brother, you find some words that are peculiar to Brother Peter. I love the way the Holy Ghost inspired men of God. He used their personalities and he used the things that they knew. And there's some words tonight in 1st and 2nd Peter that Peter used. You find the word grace that we've been singing about tonight. You find that word grace 8 times. Thank God that 8 is the number of creation. Amen. Friend, it's the grace of God tonight that makes men and women, boys and girls, have new creatures in Christ Jesus. Thank God you find the word suffering 16 times. Peter was writing to suffering people, just like some of you are here tonight. But thank God you find the word joy or rejoicing 5 times there. Hey, brother, I believe Peter knew about that, don't you? Thank God not only that this evening, but the word glory is found 12 times. Peter even gives an account of the Mount of Transfiguration found in Matthew 17 and said, "We beheld His glory on the mountain." Oh, bless His name. Hey, friend, I want to say in passing tonight, just humbly as I know how, I'm no stranger to, and I love the glory of God. Brother, listen to me tonight. There's only one thing in this world that can help you and I as God's people through the war that we're in and through the trials and the struggles that you and I are going through tonight. Friend, 1 second in the presence of the glory of God will do you and I more good than anything this world's got to offer. I say thank God this evening. I like to get in the glory when the Lord shows up. Amen. Bless His name. But I also find the word hope found 4 times in this epistle. And tonight in our text, Peter said that you and I have begotten you have been begotten again unto a lively hope. You know what that word lively means? It means living or active. Hey, I'm glad it ain't dead, ain't you? Hey, friend, it means also enduring. Hey, it may seem like hope goes away sometimes, but God's youngins have got a hope. Thank God that's holding on to us. Amen. Brother, you ain't got to worry about the hope of the gospel going away. It endures forever. Amen. Oh. Oh, my Lord. This word hope tonight is a very interesting word. It means to anticipate something with pleasure. And you know how many times the word hope is found in our blessed King James Bible? And I'm not trying to impress you with how much I don't know nothing. But I am trying to emphasize to you that the Lord's got some hope for you and I tonight. Yeah. Our dear brother, I'm sick of this world too, Brother Arrowwood. Every day I get up, I see it getting more corrupt and rotten. Yeah. But thank God somewhere out beyond the horizon. There's a hope out there. Thank God, and we can anticipate it tonight with pleasure in the Lord. Amen. That word hope, to anticipate with pleasure, is found 130 times in our King James Bible. And you know what? I see God's people. And you know what? I have to confess to you, there's times I get in the shape I'm about to tell you about. Sometimes we lose hope. And did you know that I read in Acts 27, sitting right back there one more time, where Paul lost hope one time? He was in the middle of a terrible storm on a prison ship on the way to Rome as a prisoner. And he said, when Luke wrote Acts, I believe that. I believe Luke wrote Acts. And you know what he said? He said, when neither sun nor stars had appeared in many days, listen now, then all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But someone showed up on the bow of that ship.
Yeah.
Woo! Thank the Lord tonight. Hey, friend, you know what Paul told Timothy? He said, Jesus Christ, who is our hope? Amen.
Yeah.
The Bible said after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of those men and said, men, you should have hearkened to sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this hardened loss. But be of good cheer, for there is stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve. And thank God he told me there'll be no loss of any man's life, save of the ship. And thank God they landed on the shore, some on pieces of the ship and some on pieces of broken board, but thank God they made it to the shore. Hey friend, may I say, may I say to you and me tonight, we may get to the shore on broken pieces of the ship, maybe on some boards, but thank God it'll be the grace of Almighty God that lands us on the shores of home without the loss of one. I say praise the Lord tonight, Brother Toby. I don't have to give up my hope because it's real, it's living, it's lively, it's active, it's enduring. Don't give up your hope this evening. I'd like to point out three reasons in the verses that I read to you. And boy, I tell you, I like them.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I'm not trying to make you laugh. It's just the truth. They'll crank your tractor on a cold morning.
Yeah.
I want to show you three reasons not to give up your hope tonight found in our verses that I read. I want you to notice in verse 3 this evening, we don't have to give up our hope because of our regeneration. Look in verse 3. Woo! Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again. That phrase, begotten us again, it just simply means that you've been born of God. It simply means that you've been born from above. It means tonight that you, if you're saved, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Thank God I don't know what He's done for you, but praise the Lord, I know what He's done for me, Jacob Beatty. Amen. Oh, how many of you tonight know that you're not what you once were? How many of you know tonight where He found you? How many of you know this evening, thank the Lord, where He came, where you were? I brought you out of this low land of sin and sorrow. I showed you how lost you was. And thank God saved your soul. I say bless His name this evening. I've been regenerated by the Spirit of God. And there ain't nothing in this world or in the world to come that can ever take that away from me or you if you're saved. Amen. It's His name. Jesus told Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is the second time when he's old? Can he enter into his mother's womb the second time and be born? Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. I want you to notice first of all the means of our regeneration. But thank God you say, preacher, how'd you get in? 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. But thank God being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. My friend, there was an hour in my life, and it was a good hour, when I sat under a man of God, lost as lost could be, and he opened that Bible up right there, King James only, please, and thank God he preached to me about Jesus. His text was from the book of Habakkuk. Brother, I tell you right now, I didn't know Habakkuk from Tobacco. Amen. I didn't know anything. I didn't know John 3:16 when the Lord saved me. But God took that word right there and the sword of the Spirit went out. And thank God it was plunged in my heart. And thank God if you're saved, it was plunged into your heart too. And thank God the Lord got a hold of you. That word brought forth life. Thank God the Spirit quickens you by the Word of God and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That That's the means tonight by which you and I got saved. Amen. Boy, y'all preach a man today. I not only see the means, but thank God I see the mercy involved. You didn't notice Peter said, "Who hath begotten us again according to His abundant mercy?" Oh my, I wish I had breath to sing now, but I don't think I do. Mercy, mercy, God's loving mercy that saved an old sinner like me. If we had gotten justice, we'd all be lost. But we found mercy when we knelt at the cross. Thank God, Psalm 136, verse 1. I think it's Psalm 100. I can't get my verses straight. But one of the Psalms, every one of those verses in that Psalm says, His mercy endureth forever. My friend, you and I was a bunch of dead dogs like Mephibosheth, crippled from a fall that didn't deserve nothing but God's judgment. But thank God the Lord came to where we were. Bless His name. And thank God showed us mercy and brought us out of the land of Lodibar. Wow, a place of no pasture. Brought us up to the king's palace. Made us one of the king's sons. Set us down at His table. All because of the mercy of God Almighty. Then I see the miracle of it. I don't listen to me, please. I don't mean, and I wouldn't dare. I wouldn't dare do it because I don't like to think about mine. I wouldn't dare try to bring up anyone's past. But friend, if you ever forget where He brought you from and where you are right now, you'll lose your joy. You'll lose a lot of things. You can't lose your salvation, but you'll lose your joy. You'll lose your peace and you'll lose your compassion for souls, brother. Amen, brother. I'm not going to tell you where He found me. I don't want you to know. But I will say this. He's done forgot about it. Bless His high and holy name. What is it that can take a man off a bar stool and take a drunk and instantly deliver him from the curse of alcohol and the addiction of dope and put him in the house of God on the front pew on a Sunday morning? I'll tell you what it is. It's the miracle of the new birth of God Almighty. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Legion, where are you going? I'm going back home to my friends and family, tell everybody what Jesus did for me. I never will forget. I walked in the mill where I work up there again now, you know, when I resigned and went back to work at Roper. That's where I work at in Fett. And I just want to testify for a second. I never will forget, after I got saved, it was three women that prayed for me, and one of them worked right across the line from me. And she'd sing gospel songs to me. I didn't want to hear them. I wasn't mean to her, but I didn't want to hear them. That day after I got saved, I walked back in the mill. The first person I walked up to was one of them ladies, elderly ladies. Said, "Guess what happened to me?" She said, "What?" I said, "I got saved last night." Then one of the real elderly women that talked to me and witnessed to me, Brother Dixon, I told her. She said, "Praise the Lord, David's going to be up there with us now." And then the woman that witnessed to me and sung songs to me. And Mama, you know who she was? It was Myra McRae, Marty's wife. She sung him. I walked up to her. I said, "Guess what happened?" She said, "Well," I said, "I got saved last night." Hallelujah to God. Her brother, I walked up to that crowd that I run around with at work. Told one man, "Guess what happened to me last night?" He said, "What?" I said, "I got saved last night, my wife." And brother, you know what? He cussed me and said, "I can't talk to you no more." Man, I played in a band with that Tuesday. I got saved that Sunday, and we always had practice on Tuesdays. He come up going to ride the band practice. And he asked me for a ride, and I said, "Hey," I called his name. I said, "Guess what happened to me last night or Sunday?" He said, "What?" I said, "I got saved." He said, "David, you're a fool." And he turned around and walked off. I've been a fool for Jesus going on 24, 25 years, ma'am. And thank God I don't want to change. Hey, I'm telling you, I can do it for myself. I can regenerate myself. I can make me a new creature. But I know the one who did, and I know the one who can for you. that's a wonderful reason not to let go of your hope.
Amen.
Now I must hasten on. Then secondly, I'm hurrying. Oh Lord, it gets better. I'm honest before the Lord. The Bible just says it's like a cotton field. The more you pick it, the wider it gets. Number two, not only the lively hope of our regeneration, but second of all in verse 3, the lively hope of His resurrection.
Yeah.
That's a great reason not to give up the old faith.
Yeah.
I mean, it's shouting time now.
Yeah.
Hey, after all, our Lord just did conquer death, hell, and the grave, and that's all. Look at verse 3 again. Lord, help. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a new lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Amen.
Preacher, what's that dear? What's your name, brother? Missionary to Honduras?
William Borden.
William Borden? That's a good name, Borden. Amen. I guarantee you on that mission field, you've had to encounter some things that we'll never encounter. And you know what it was that overcome them spirits? It was the risen, resurrected Son of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Woo! And when you get back over there, He'll still be alive.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't you just love 1 Corinthians chapter 15?
Yeah.
That whole entire chapter is given over to the doctrine and teaching of the resurrection of our Lord. But I especially love verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead.
Yeah.
And become the first fruits of them that slept. I want you to notice three things, then I'll hasten on. I'll try not to keep you. I want you to notice the proof of His resurrection.
Amen.
Acts chapter 1 verse 3, the Bible said that He proved it by many infallible proofs.
Yeah.
That word infallible, it means a demonstrative proof. It means to prove by sure signs.
Amen.
May I say to you that two strangers were on the road to Emmaus defeated because they saw the Lord crucified.
Yeah.
But a stranger drew near to them and began to expound to them in the Scriptures all the things about Jesus. But you think some preachers are long-winded?
Yeah.
How would you like for your pastor to get up Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night and preach all the way from Genesis to Malachi?
Yeah.
That's what this stranger did, beginning at Moses and the prophets. He expounded unto them all the things concerning Himself. It was Jesus, by the way.
Yeah.
Then in that same chapter of Luke, verse 24, He appeared to them in the evening in an upper room. And brother, when He appeared to them, they thought they saw a spirit. He said, a spirit hath not flesh. Now notice He said flesh and bone.
Yeah.
He didn't say flesh and blood. Because His blood was on the mercy seat in heaven.
Amen.
He said, a spirit hath not flesh and bone like I have. Handle me, see me, touch me. And then He ate a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. Amen.
Yeah.
And may I say to you, when He saved you, that same risen, resurrected Lord, He moved on the inside of your inner man.
Yeah.
And that I know we don't go by, I feel pretty good right now though in the soul. I know we don't go by feelings tonight, but every now and then the big wheel starts turning with a little wheel about 17 inches below the left collarbone.
Yeah.
And thank God I feel the resurrected Christ down in my soul.
Yeah.
Walking up and down the aisle. Hey friend, I appreciate so much what you said. I didn't act like this till I got saved.
Yeah.
But thank God, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. That's the proof. Then I want you to notice, boy, I want you to notice the possession after His resurrection. Now you may not know this, then you preachers will, I'm sure. But do you know who had the power over death before Jesus rose from the dead? You know who it was? Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 15. For as much then as the children are partakers in flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil.
Yeah.
That's clear, isn't it?
Yes.
He had the power of death. Do you think He had the keys?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I personally believe He did.
Amen.
Now, did you know that our blessed Bible teaches tonight that death, actual death, has gates and doors on it? Listen to it now. Job 38:17, have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death?
Amen.
Death has gates and it's got doors.
Amen.
Has to have a lock on it for it to get unlocked.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
Hey. You gotta have keys.
Yeah.
That's
the Lord. All them centuries went by and the devil had the power over death. But after Christ rose from the dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? Keys in that blessed Bible tonight are a symbol of power and authority.
Yeah. Yeah.
Revelation 1:18, when the resurrected Lord appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos. And John fell at his feet, he's dead. You know what Jesus did? He laid his right hand on him. And he says, fear not, John.
Yes.
I'm the first and the last. But he didn't stop there.
Yes.
He says, I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Power and authority.
Yes. Yes.
One of these days, that key is going to be slipped in the lock for you and I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Someday I shall walk through this lonely valley, but Jesus, my Lord, will hold to my hand. Thanks be to God.
Yeah.
It will be just a shadow.
Amen.
When on top of Mount Zion I stand. Someday I shall stand on the top of Mount Zion. And I'll get to look into heaven's shout when I reach that city. No, I'll never walk in the valley again. Amen. When the door goes open, hey, look at this now. Watch this. I may not get past this point. Now, watch it now. You didn't notice. David didn't say, yea, though I run through the valley of the shadow of death. That would have been an indication that something was chasing him and he was scared.
Yeah.
David also said, he told Jonathan, he said, there is but a step between me and death. So I personally, we won't split hairs. This is the way the Lord showed it to me. I believe when that time comes and the door opens for me, you know what we're going to do? We ain't going to step into this fleshly feet anymore. Our spirit's going to be locked loose from this prison of bars of bone and clay like Johnny Rambo wrote about. And thank God that soul's going to take a step like it's never took before. And thank God we'll step over and the gates of death alone to us, and we'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but we'll not fear any evil, for His rod and His staff, thank God, they will comfort you and me.
Amen.
That's enough to make the Pope want to shout, and I question if he's safe. Then tonight I see not only the possession, I see the promise. Oh Lord. Who was it tonight that was saying over and over again, this ain't all there's going to be? It was you. Well, if I was pastor and I'd get you to preach a meeting for me. That was good. John 14:19, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but because you said, but you say me, listen. He said, because I live, ye shall live also.
Amen.
How many of you have ever went out to the city of the dead and planted a dear loved one in that ground?
Yes.
I have. But you know what? I preached my first wife's funeral. She died in 2011. Many of you know that. She died at 43. And I felt it was the last thing I could do for her. I felt constrained to preach her funeral. And I remember turning around looking at that casket. It was closed. And I said, this ain't all there is.
Yes.
And I'm so glad. Yes. And I'm so grateful. That after she died, I went up to her grave several times. And one day it dawned on me I was on resurrection ground.
Yeah.
One of these days, whether I go by the grave or whether I go by the rapture, whether I die, I don't know when it's going to be, but I do know this. Thank God, if He comes after I die, I'm getting out the first load. We won't split hairs over that meter. That's okay. But I'm telling you right now, I do know this. There's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. And if I was you and I wasn't saved, I'd accept this Jesus that we've been singing and shouting and testifying and preaching about tonight, because you're going to die one day. But thank God, if you get saved, you're going to get up. Hey, I got news for you. I got something to tell you. That's a real good reason not to give up your hope, ain't it?
Amen.
Then thirdly, and I promise I'm done. Lord, we don't have to give up our hope because of our resurrection and because of His resurrection and our regeneration. But thirdly and lastly, look at verse 4. We ain't got to give up our hope because of our reservations. Look at verse 4. To an inheritance. Incorruptible. And undefiled and fadeth not away. Well, bless my bones, reserved in heaven for you. How many of you know you're going? All right. Who's your right arm growed on to? That right there's for you.
Bless the Lord.
Boy, Brother Toby, I know I told you this before church, and I'm not just trying to get pulpit compliments. I'm sincere. Thank you for the nice room the church give us. We walk down that hall. I've never been many places at all. I'm just a country hick. I've not been many places, but we walked in that motel and I walked down that hall. I said, look at this, Mama. Ain't this nice? You thought the Beverly Hillbillies walked in or something. We walked in that room. I said, good night, look at this. I've never seen nothing like it. You can tell I ain't been many places. But oh, as nice as that room y'all provided for us.
Yes.
You know, these new modern translations say, in my Father's house are many dwellings or many rooms.
No.
I read it again this morning, and my blessed King James Bible still says mansions. I'll just stay with that. Huh? Lord, I've got to hurry. Lord, have mercy. You know what that word reserved means? That word reserved speaks of a prison warden guarding something. It means to keep an eye on something. It means to keep something with a military guard. In other words, you know what our Lord is doing tonight? He's guarding our inheritance. The devil can't break through. I know he went up there in the book of Job and he's the accuser of the brethren. I know all that. But brother, when that new Jerusalem's finished, thieves can't break through and steal it. He won't step. He may come up on the breadth of the earth and try to encompass about the camp of the saints, but he'll never step one foot inside of that new city.
Hallelujah.
Oh, brother, there's so much liberty in here, Brother Dix. Lord, help. Oh, I'm glad they're pure. I'm glad they're permanent and I'm glad they're personal.
Hey.
Let me give you this story and I'll be done. When I was a boy, God enabled me to buy my old home place. The house is not there that I grew up in until I was 8 years old. But I live on the land my old home place was on. I thank God for it. I like it. I love that place. And I told my mom and daddy when I found out he was going to move, I said, I ain't going. I ain't moving. That little 8 year old boy, 1975. I ain't moving. Moving day came. My bed had a window right behind it. And this house, now that I look back on it, was not much bigger than this pulpit. It was a cracker box. And I remember getting up and looking out, and they had stuff out in the yard. I don't remember much. All I remember is that they took me and my sister to our grandparents that evening. That may have been a Friday or a Saturday. And I remember them dropping us off up there, and I remember Mom and Daddy saying, now, Sunday evening, we went to church some, but not much. They said, Sunday evening, we're going to come back and get you. Okay. Everybody loves staying at Granny's. I don't remember what we did, but I know we had a good time. That Sunday evening, sure enough, in the evening, here come Mom and Daddy. They pulled up and they said, we're going home now. We got in the car, we drove home. Now the house that they had bought, it was in a section of town called West Lafayette. Wasn't the worst part of town, but it wasn't a real nice part of town. The house that they bought was literally falling in. They had spent months and months and months renovating that thing. I remember at one point, Brother Dixon, I remember this as a boy, seeing the whole floor tore out and nothing but dirt. I mean, I thought, and outside it looked like a dump. I don't know what kind of siding it had on it, but I can't describe it. It was white and ugly. I don't know what it was. It was just And we didn't have a driveway. We had a fence all the way around it. And we had to park kind of, there was enough room to park our cars on the side of the road by that fence without getting hit. There were houses around us and stuff, and we had nice neighbors. I thank God for that. But when we pulled up, I looked, and it was still as ugly as it was the last time I seen it. Ugly outside, white. Yard didn't have a lot of grass right there in the front. Had a concrete porch and some, I guess, yeah, it was a porch. And we got out of the car, and Mom and Daddy opened that gate and said, come on in. And I hold my hand up. I'm not embellishing this story. I don't remember what my little sister did, but I remember what I did. Little 8-year-old boy walks in this house that he seen the floor tore out of with nothing but dirt in the floor. The door opens up. They cut the light on, and it's shining. The floor had carpet in it. My granny had carpet, but I've never been in a house that was mine that had carpet in it. And y'all can laugh if y'all want to, Lord, you know I'm telling the truth. When they opened that door and me and my sister walked in, I went, golly, bum! And I looked, that place was the most beautiful place I ever saw in my life. And you know what? I walked through the kitchen, it looked good. Then I walked through my little sister's room, and then I walked to my room. I had my own room. I didn't have to share my room with my little sister no more. And every part of that house, except the back hall, every part of that house had been fixed just absolutely beautiful. Even a little 8-year-old boy, when he walked in, looked up and was in awe at how everything shined and sparkled and looked so beautiful. We lived there till I was 18. And it was always home. But you know what? Something happened to me. Brother Arrowwood, something happened to me October 14th, 1990 in a little country church. I was 23 years old. That old house, you ought to see it now. It is a dump. I'd be scared to walk in it now. Mom and Dad sold it years ago, and people that bought it, boy, they let it go. I mean, it's horrible. But you know what? One of these days, our blessed Lord's going to say, come on home, y'all. Come to your new home.
Yeah.
And when we step over the embattlements of glory,
glory to God.
I can't tell you if we, I know we won't say golly, but I mean, you know, we're country, we might. But I do know this. We're going to say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, honor, and glory, and riches. For thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every tongue, kindred, people, and nation. Amen.
Amen.
Then there's going to be a multitude that no man can number, screaming and hollering to the top of our voice. Glory to the Lamb that was slain. Thank God them 420 elders are saying, oh, thou art worthy, thou art worthy, them preachers before the throne. Right now they're crying day and night, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Amen. And when we get to our new home, We won't have to worry about the devil being nowhere around. And we'll be home at last. Y'all won't stand to y'all's feet for just 1 second. Preacher, I turn it back over to you. You want me to give an invitation? I'll do it. Would y'all come up here and get a song ready? Just a little tune. Whatever you feel impressed to sing. Pastor asked me to give... Brother Moderator, do you want me to? I need to ask you. Okay, thank you, Brother Moderator. Let's all bow our heads for just 1 second. Close our eyes, if you would, please. My friend, if you don't know Him, that's not going to be what your home's like. Your home's going to be a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. The fearful, the unbelieving, idolaters, idolaters, whoremongers, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone forever and ever. You'll never get out. You'll never get out. But listen, tonight in this old blessed camp meeting, you can come to the Lord Jesus. You can be saved. If I wasn't on the rock, thank God I'd get on it tonight. Would there be someone anywhere right quickly that'd say, "Preacher, I know I didn't intend to give an invitation to the lost, but I feel constrained to. Ain't going to call nobody out and ain't going to get nobody embarrassed, but would there be anybody here tonight that just quietly lift your hand and say, "Preacher, Brother David, I've never been saved. Just remember me in your prayers that I'll get concerned about my soul."
Yes.
Would you lift your hand up, anybody anywhere? Anybody anywhere? Well, let me put it to you this way. Maybe there's somebody here that's saved, but you've just about given up hope. It's just about gone, and you're just ready to throw in the towel and say, "I've done all I can do. I'm just about ready to give it up." Why don't you just make your way down to these altars if you're physically able? Come down here and just cry out to the Lord and say, "Lord, help me." He's a very present help in trouble tonight. While they sang this song, if you need to come, you mind the Lord and do what God would have you to do this evening. While they sang this song tonight, would you do it? Would you do it?
God is faithful to hear His children. Victories will come our way. He will send them when we ask Him. Somebody needs to pray. I'm going to sing it again. God is faithful.
Don't lose your hope.
To hear His children.
I get there.
Victory will come our way. He will send them when we ask Him. Somebody needs to pray. Somebody go get God. Somebody go get God. Tell Him we're thirsty. Beg Him for mercy. Somebody go get God. We have a promise from Holy Scripture, one that makes God's children brave, that if we seek Him while we can find Him, we can move His hand today. Somebody go get God. Please, somebody go get God. Tell Him we're thirsty and beg Him for mercy. Somebody go get God. Seems we're losing to Satan, even losing our children. But there's still hope at Calvary if we'll only share these burdens. Somebody go get God. Somebody go get God. Tell Him we're thirsty and beg Him for mercy. Somebody go get God. We have a promise from Holy Scripture, one that makes God's children brave, that if we seek Him while we can find Him, we can move His hand today. Somebody go get God. Somebody go get God. Tell Him we're thirsty and beg Him for mercy. Somebody go get God. God is faithful to hear His children. Victories will come our way. He will send them when we ask Him. So somebody needs to pray. Somebody go get God. Somebody go get God. Tell Him we're thirsty. Beg Him for mercy. Somebody go get God. Seems we're losing to Satan, even losing our children. But there's still hope at Calvary if we'll only share these burdens. Somebody go get God. Somebody go get God. Tell Him we're thirsty. Beg Him for mercy. Somebody go get God.